This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor with Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. Panama. The news is positive in that the protests are now said to have ended. The blockade of major roads, including the Pan-American Highway, is lifted. However, the negotiations continue between the government and the protesters. Professor, I was always understanding that Panama is one of the most stable of all, not only Central America, but all of the New World. Is this unusual, or is Panama now caught up in the same cycle of inflation, fuel prices, and the poorest having no means?
It's both, John. Panama has long been one of the most successful economies in Central America and a leader in the region, not least, of course, because of not only its key logistics position with the Panama Canal, but also because of its very successful role as a regional financial hub and a regional logistics and distribution hub. In the middle of that, however, we see that Panama has suffered many of the same stresses, first with its economic position and fragile middle class debilitated by COVID-19, and then, of course, a very weakened fiscal position because of all it was forced to spend. Indeed, the fact that the Panama Canal had restricted operations because of COVID really had hurt the Panama Canal and the Panamanian economy even more deeply than some other countries. And so on the one hand, some of the types of responses of marginalized populations in political terms we've seen across the region, for example, food and fuel price riots that paralyzed Peru, that have paralyzed Ecuador in recent weeks, previously, serious riots in Honduras and elsewhere. The fact that for the past 3 weeks we're seeing these same types of things in Panama shows that even in Panama, those are very serious. On the other hand, it also shows the way in which in the context of these fragile situations that there's some question about why or whether these protests are being weaponized by radical anti-democratic elements of the left with their agenda. And so in the case of Panama, it was apparent that almost $500 million may have been lost in commerce by the blocking of the Pan-American Highway and other things that really brought the economy to the knees. And it's also critical because Panama's current president, Nito Cortizo, who has been, again, a good governance president who reined in some of the very questionable Chinese projects initiated by his predecessor, Martin Varela, and who was trying to get Panama off of the Financial Action Task Force gray list. And so in many ways, one of the most important good governance Democrats in the region aligned with the United States is now under fire politically. The fear was that this could actually bring the Cortizo government down with something that would be much more disadvantageous to those more anti-democratic extremists. They've now at least appeared to negotiate a temporary solution that would bring down the prices on 72 consumer items, about a 30% cut in average, enormous concessions by the Panamanian government, which again, like other places in the region, just shows not only how fragile the economic situation is, but how fragile, in some cases, democracy can be against protesters who paralyze governments.
To San Salvador, Nayib Bukele, the young and spectacular president of El Salvador. This is part of the Northern Triangle. You will recall the professor and I have touched on this over these last years because the Northern Triangle is said to be the source of major immigration into the United States. I don't know whether that's still the dominant story about this region because of all the other immigration stories that I've covered the last year from East Africa, from the Indo-Pacific, certainly from Haiti and Cuba. However, still critical. Nayib Bukele makes a lot of controversial statements, let's put it that way, like investing in Bitcoin, not only when it was near $40,000, but when it's under $20,000. He likes to gamble with crypto, saying it's the currency of the future. I believe he's declared it the currency of his own country, which is odd when you can drop from $40,000 to $20,000. But in any event, new announcements. El Salvador's president announces a plan for voluntary repurchase of offer to holders of bonds maturing between 2023 and 2025. The operation will be partially funded by reserves allocated last year by the IMF. I'm going to stop there because this looks like Bukele is doing something conservative and straightforward. He has an account at the IMF, IMF is generous towards nations that are fragile. And he's using that as not to buy more Bitcoin, but to pay down debt. Is this suddenly Bukele, a new advisors? How do you make sense of this, Professor? Nothing's wrong with it.
This is John Bukele trying to cover his tracks in a problem which is very serious, but had not yet become quite as bad as some people feared. And so, as we talked about previously in the program, one of Bukele's initiatives that are questionable, a man that calls himself Latin America's coolest dictator,
right,
was to mortgage a significant part of his country's fragile fiscal situation in buying some $107 million in Bitcoin. And of course, when Bitcoin lost over 50% of its value, that meant that the financial reserves of El Salvador were put at risk. However, although the reserves were put at risk by those so far unrealized, financially unrealized losses, the net effect on the overall debt, overall budget still remained relatively small. Those losses, even as grave as they were, only represented about 0.5% of the budget.
I'm sorry we don't have much time, Professor. You do regard this recent announcement as a responsible investment in the future. Is that correct?
Bukele is borrowing some money from Salvador's special drawing rights to say that the government's loans are not at risk. But at the end of the day, the government's loans were never at risk. But Bukele has not yet changed his policy of essentially putting his nation's fiscal solvency at risk with Bitcoin more
broadly. Bukele is certain to be in the news again. He's spectacular about press releases. Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.